before Pastor Tim comes, one of the things that we love to do is to hear stories about how people live out the message of Christ and the message of hope, what it looks like in their lives, how it gets concretized, if you will. Our drummer, Josh, is, and his wife are fairly new at Calvary. He's been drumming for us for a few months. He's got a really fascinating history himself. Just share with us about worship as the language of hope.
Good morning, everyone. Get my notes out. So like Pastor Steve said, my name is Josh McClung. My parents are missionaries. They're right now in Slovakia. Pastor Steve mentioned about the Syrian refugees, and they're having to deal with a little bit of that as they come north from where they're running from. So keep them in your prayers as well. So just a little history about me and music in my life. My mother is a fabulous pianist. She had a career with a gospel group called the Gospel Sounds. They traveled in a Greyhound bus and recorded 5 full-length albums. And when my mom met my dad, she had parted ways with the group she was in, but she still really wanted to play. But she didn't have anyone to play with. She wasn't in a band anymore. So as soon as she found out she was pregnant with me, she prayed and asked God that her firstborn would be a drummer so she could have someone to play with. So she wanted to keep using her talents and worshiping God, and she was playing in the church at some points, but I was born a drummer. So during that time, my parents were on a 2-year missions trip to Belgium as well. So I was born in Belgium, and they had started their short-term missions trip there. Fast forward to 2015, obviously I'm still a drummer. I enjoy playing here and using my talents for God in the church. And during the time when I was born and between then and now, my parents had been pastors, and I played with my mom in the local church where my dad was a pastor. And after that, our whole family moved to Lithuania to be missionaries. They continued to be missionaries there. And we had to try to learn a new language, a new culture, a new religious history in a brand new country that none of us had ever been to before. But one thing that became very clear to me was that music is a universal language. It has the ability to connect an entire earth, the entire earth around one topic, whatever topic that may be, but in my context, that was worshiping God. In Lithuania, a lot of the hymns that I had heard in English in the United States had been translated, but the melodies and the harmonies were the same. So I had a connection with the people there, even though at that time I couldn't speak with them. I could sing with them in English, and they were singing the same songs, the same melodies in their language, in Lithuanian, but I had a connection there, and that's the power of music, to be able to connect to me and them, maybe to me, through music, just singing the same song in a different language. And that's more specifically the power of worshiping together in a church context. And God desperately wants to connect with us, whether that's through worship or whatever he has on our hearts. But he wants to connect with each and every one of us. And he was willing to give up his own child to do that. Jesus was crucified by the people of that land, so that we could have a connection with him. And whichever ways and means that he finds to each and every one of us, he wants to make a powerful connection. And for me, music is one of the most powerful ways to connect. And worship gives me the hope to be able to connect with God. A connection he wants, but also a connection that I desperately need myself.
Good morning. You guys look almost as fantastic as I do. I figured it's fall, so I should probably start breaking out the jackets and the suits. So next week, I expect a little more from you guys. I'm just kidding. I'm joking. I think one of my favorite things about Calvary is that no matter who you are, no matter which service you go to, you can come as you are. Because Jesus accepts us just as we are. So whether you're wearing a suit and a bow tie, or whether you're wearing jeans and a t-shirt, or whether you're wearing Seahawks gear, it does not matter. Jesus loves you. And he doesn't want to leave you just the way you are. He wants to take you and transform you and bring us to a place where we are just as he intended us to be. And that's an incredible thing. But still, you better dress up next week. I'm just saying. Thanks, Josh. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? This morning, we're talking about worship as the language of hope. And we're gonna talk about music, and we're going to talk about praise, and then we're going to talk about worship, because there are some differences in those things. But I think music is one of the most powerful things in the world. It's the symphony of the soul. Have you heard it been called that before? William P. Merrill said, "There's nothing in the world so much like prayer as music is." Music helps us celebrate. You don't have to look very far to find that that's true. If it's somebody's birthday, what do? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. You look like a monkey. What? Very nice, Sylvia. Berthold Auerbach said, "Music washes away from the soul the dust of everyday life." Isn't that rich? Music helps us celebrate. When we go to a wedding, oftentimes there's music, whether it's in the ceremony or at the reception. We use music to celebrate. Music also helps us commiserate. Victor Hugo said that music expresses that which cannot be said and on which it is impossible to be silent. Sometimes when we are going through the difficulties of life, music is what gets us through. One of my favorite musicians, his name is John Foreman. He's the lead singer of a band called Switchfoot. And he has written some solo albums, and they're so, so powerful. There's one that's called Winter, Spring, Summer, and Fall, and they're just short 4 or 5 song little albums. But they walk through the different seasons of life. And I love it because it has been a very powerful tool for me as I've walked through different seasons of life, and there are different aspects of it that I take and during the hard times, some of these songs have been very powerful for me. There's a band called the David Crowder Band, and they came out with an album in the early 2000s that as I was really struggling through ministry and I was struggling with depression, that this album, it was called A Collision, A plus B equals C. And it talked, you know, it had these songs that were just so moving for me because they took the message of Jesus Christ and walked me through my dark times. Music helps us commiserate. King David, in Psalm 42, if you've got a Bible, you can crack it open. In Psalm 42, he says, "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with him? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, 'Where is your God?' These things I remember as I pour out my soul." Have you been there? Where you're just pouring out your soul? "How I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throngs." He's talking about this place of darkness that he's going through. "It used to be great, but now where is it?" And he goes on to say this, "Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God." for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, from the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by my enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying all to me all day long, where is your God? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. King David, one of the greatest worshipers of history, went through seasons just like you and I. And in the down times, he still wrote music. And he still put his hope in God. He recognized that this season was not the only season of life. So why so downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise you. There's good coming. Music helps us celebrate. Music helps us commiserate. And music helps us remember. Did you know that music in churches is one of the most difficult and divisive aspects of church life? They actually teach classes about it in Bible school. How to work through these processes. Do you want to know why that is? Because music is so tied to emotions and memories. And we all have different connections with music as it pertains to our relationship with Jesus Christ. I have those kind of memories. When I was a kid, are you ready for this, Chris? When I was a kid in church, I remember songs like this one right here.
I look forward to this.
Remember this one?
Well, it's a great, great morning, your first day in heaven.
You remember this?
When you stroll down the boat.
Does anybody know? Anybody know who sings this?
There are mansions left to ride, and you thrill.
Blackwood Brothers?
And the saints are always smiling, saying,
that's a good one. How about this one? Let's skip to the next one. This one was also a good one. This was a little bit further on. Check this one out.
Sail on when the water gets high.
You guys remember this
sail
one?
On. When
these are, this is the Imperials, right? In the 70s.
It's just a matter of minutes till his ship comes to get us, and
that's
we'll all
one.
Get in it.
And then a little further on, there was this one. This one. This one is one of my. Oh, I love this one. It's called The Coloring Song by Petra. Early Petra. Good, Chris. Music ties our memories. When I was a kid, my dad used to sing to us at bedtime. And one of the songs that he used to sing has stuck with me. And when I learned to play guitar. Is this one on, Blake? My dad used to sing to me this one. And if you catch on, it'll be great. Anybody recognize it yet?
Life was filled with guns and wars. All of us got trampled on the floor. I wish we'd all been. Children die, the days grew cold. I piece of bread, buy a bag of gold. I wish we'd all been ready. There's no time to change your mind. The sun has come and you've been left behind.
Music ties us to our memories. Some of you have those memories. Some of you have them from a camp. It's why this organ is such a big deal for us. Because as we go back, some of you, the sound of the organ ties a song like nothing else can. Now, that brings us to kind of it brings us into a place where we recognize that music just by itself has ties to memories, and it helps us to celebrate, and it helps us to commiserate, and it helps us to remember. But when we take music a step further and connect it with Jesus, it becomes praise. It becomes praise. The psalmist David was great at this. In Psalm 8, he says, "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of infants and children, you've established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars in which you have set in place, what is mankind that you're mindful of them, human beings that you care for them? O Lord, our Lord," in verse 9, "how majestic is your name in all the earth." When we take music and make Jesus the focus of it, it becomes praise. And there are so many ways to do that. And there is not one style of music that makes praise better than another. Because if you go back to the Jewish times, listen to what David says can be used for worship, for praise. In Psalm 150, "Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power and for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and the lyre." Be like a guitar. Stringed instruments. "Praise him with the timbrel and with dancing." What? "Praise him with the strings and with the pipe." The pipes. "Praise him with the clash of cymbals, with the resounding of cymbals, and let everything with breath praise the Lord." Praise the Lord. Leilani, can I borrow you for a second? I'm throwing a curveball at Leilani, because I know she can. This tying of music to praise, I'm going to need you on the piano. And we're gonna do these three right here. Okay. You can start that first one. Some of you, for this song has such powerful impact, because at some point you used it to celebrate, at some point you used it to commiserate. And you tie memories to it. "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but was blind, but now I see." One of the powerful hymns for me that was really pivotal for me as a young man is this next one. "The Old Rugged Cross." "On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross.
the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain.
Here it comes.
So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down, and I will cling. I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you.
And our praise ties us to Jesus Christ. And it brings us hope because we do not praise so that we can get something from Him. We do not praise because of something God can do for us, but we praise because what He has already done for us on the cross. What He has already done for us. This means that we can have hope through suffering. We can praise even when things are hard. The Apostle Paul says that we can glory. This is a word that the New Testament uses for praise. We can glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. And perseverance, character. And character, what? Hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been, it's already been, poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. This is where hope ties with praise because He has done it. He is victorious. And though we may walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil because He is with us. He is with us. And this is where things get even deeper. Because we go from music to praise, and then we take it one step further into worship. Now, this is where things got difficult for me as I was putting together this service, because we often talk about worship, and what we mean is music. What we mean is praise. But as I began to study the word worship this week in the Hebrew, there are very, very few times where it talks about music when it's talking about worship. In the Old Testament, worship involved bringing a sacrifice unto God. And although the manner of sacrifice has changed, that fundamental principle remains. The Jews were required to bring physical sacrifices. But David indicates that the sacrifice God really wants from us is a broken and contrite heart. Paul told believers to present their bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. And this was their spiritual act of worship. In practice, worship is a lifestyle of brokenness before God. And just as Jesus presented Himself a dying sacrifice for us, we are to present ourselves as a living sacrifice for Him. Worship cannot be separated from service. Everything that we do ought to be for God's glory, and that is true worship. This can be done in our service, our devotion, our giving, our acts of concern for others' well-being, for our everyday lives. Worship goes so much deeper than music and praise. In our modern worship, Western culture, worship is an action directed toward God and God alone. But listen to this. This was interesting to me. But this is not the case in the Hebrew Bible. The word sheha is a common Hebrew word meaning to prostrate oneself before another in respect. The word sheha is one of the main words that is translated worship. We see Moses doing this to his father-in-law, his father-in-law in Exodus 18. When the translators translate the word sheha, they will use the word worship when the bowing down is directed toward God, but as obeisance or other equivalent word when directed toward another man. There's no Hebrew word meaning worship in the sense that we are used to using it in our culture today. From an Hebraic perspective, worship, or sheha, is that act of getting down on one's knees and placing the face down on the ground before another worthy of respect. And this is where it all comes back to Jesus Christ, because God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is why worship and praise are the language of hope. It all comes back around to Jesus. We worship him. We offer our lives to him. We bow down before him because of who he is and what he has done for us. We sacrifice ourselves, our desires, our natural tendencies to the God who created us, to the God who created the world, to the God who sacrificed himself for us. It's our only reasonable response. This is worship. And it brings us hope because we know that we don't have to do it on our own. It brings us hope because we know that this God, who is above and beyond anything that we can comprehend, walks with us through our trials. It brings hope because we know that when all is said and done, we will be able to stand in his presence for eternity. Say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And there will be no more pain. There will be no more suffering. There will be joy and gladness for eternity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We let the message of Christ dwell among us richly, and we teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in our hearts. Full circle. Where we started with music as an expression of life, the anthems of life, and it moved into praise for us, and then it moved into worship, and then the response of worship is to bring it back with music and to sing and rejoice with gratitude in our hearts for what he has done for us. Here are your takeaways. Something that you can put into practice this week. That's our goal. In response to this, you'll find it on the back of your connection card. And if the band will come and get ready, number one, I will sacrifice something to spend time with Jesus. I will sacrifice something to spend time with Jesus. That could be television. That could be listening to the radio. It could be time on the computer or on your device. But I will sacrifice something to spend time with Jesus. Number two, this week I will respond to God by praising him with some kind of music. Now, not everybody is a musician, and that is okay. This is why we make a joyful noise to the Lord. For some of you, that might mean turning on some praise music and singing terribly with it. That's a sacrifice of praise. For some of you, that might mean you don't sing, but you play an instrument. You might sit down at a piano and just play before the Lord. But this is another opportunity, another takeaway that you can do. I'll respond to God by praising him with some kind of music. And thirdly, for those who aren't musicians or singers, I will write down the things that Jesus has done for me as a reminder of the hope I have in him. This week, I will look for the good things that God has done for me. I will remember those, and I will give thanks to him for those things. Would you stand with us? If you come here this morning, and you're our guest, and you've somehow floated in, and you find, wow, there is something about this hope that they're talking about Jesus, that God would sacrifice himself for me. And I want that. I want the hope of a God who can give me eternity with him and who can walk with me through my dark times. This is a good place to find him. And at the end of the service, we'll have some of our prayer team, possibly some of our deacons and elders who are available to talk to you about what those next steps look like. And if you're curious, on Sunday mornings at 9:30, there's a small group that we have that's called Starting Point. And it's a good place to kind of figure out, okay, what is this Jesus all about? Let's pray together. God, we want to worship you with our very lives. We want to bow before you our lives. We want to offer you ourselves in humility. We want to do that through our songs, through our praise, and our adoration of you. Because we recognize that music is so tied to our soul, to our memories, to our emotions. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name.